So this year is going to be the year of equipping. And I've been giving this a lot of thought. Where do we start? If we need to get equipped, where do we start? Where is our base? Like, if we're going to climb a mountain, you have a base, right? Actually, you have base camps all the way up Mount Everest, okay? If you're going to try to climb Mount Everest, you don't try to climb without a base camp. Because you got to have somewhere you fall back on, and you have to, every time you come up to a different level, you have to establish another base camp. So where do we start?
Hello?
Ground level.
What is our ground level? Where do we start? We have to start with a foundation. Jesus. And what's been happening?
Jesus.
Jesus is our foundation. But we have a resource that tells us all about Jesus. We've been doing it. Now we've got about 25 people reading the Word in a year. We begin with the Word. As a matter of fact, that's where God began. In the beginning. The beginning of everything. In the beginning was the Word. So it's so appropriate for us to start with the Word. God started with the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. I love the cosmos. I love astronomy. I love looking out and seeing the stars. I'm kind of like Abraham, more than you can count. I love to think about the beginning of time itself. How did it all begin? You know, our scientists are still trying to figure that out. They're still trying to understand how it all began. But we know how it began. It began with the Word. And later on in that passage it says, and the Word became flesh and lived among us. So we know that what we're talking about here, it began with Jesus. Exactly what LaWanda said. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. What that means is nothing would exist. Not that chair, not that carpet, not those beams, not you, not I, nothing. Can you imagine nothing? I think that takes great imagination. To imagine nothing. Everything gone. You know, sometimes, like we were in our study on Wednesday night, you have to look at the opposite to understand the positive, right? You have to look at the negative to see the positive. You have to look at, what if we didn't have any hospitals, which, by the way, were all founded on Christian tradition? If we didn't have all the hospitals and all the care centers, if we didn't have warming centers, if we didn't have people with compassion, what would it look like? I think it would look like one of those movies, like there's an apocalypse, you know, just desolation. But nothing is even worse. There's not even a building that's been burned down. There's nothing. There's not even a ground. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. Our very life, our very essence is Jesus, is the Word. Jesus, the Word. The Word, Jesus. They're one. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Amen
is right. So no matter what report we hear, No matter what the newest, you know, I was just reading about this, that there's always something new. Always something like, you know, you're going along and everything's good, and then all of a sudden, boom, something else comes up. All of a sudden, boom, another health issue. All of a sudden, boom, another relative's in trouble. Another child is astray. Another world event happens. Another fire is moving through with 100-mile-an-hour winds. Man, that's nuts. That is crazy. If you have seen the video, it is crazy. It is literally embers raining down 2 miles away and starting a fire 2 miles away.
Gives you a little bit of imagination of what hell would be like.
It gives you a little bit of imagination of what Revelation is going to look like, I'll tell you that. Because we're reading about it right now, about fire falling down like hail. Well, this is pretty close. Rumors of wars and wars. Boy, we have that all the time. So
that's why I think that okay.
We always have a lot
of stuff.
Always have another shoe drop.
Yeah, I don't do it all at once. I just boom, it's the whole world for all of a sudden at once. Or it's just gonna be like this place here, that place, and this place and that place and this place. And just systematically go through all the places and locations on the planet where people are.
Backing up, the first verse I was going to go to was in Psalm 119. This is what was laid on my heart early in the week. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What does that mean? Remember what we're talking about. In the beginning was the Word. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the Word of God. As we read this Word, we are literally reading Jesus. From the beginning to the end, from Genesis to the book of Revelation, it's all about Jesus. The four Gospels are all about Jesus. The Old Testament is all about Jesus. The New Testament is all about Jesus. From beginning to end, it's all about. What a better way to start than to begin with the Word. The Word is a light to my feet. You ever stumble around in the darkness? You know, right before Christmas, I did it again. I don't know how many times I got to do this. So I'm hobbling around again because I slammed my foot into another canister sitting on the floor. I can't tell you how many times I've done this. And I'm still kind of hobbling around now 4 weeks later. Turned black and blue, of course. It was dark, of course, when I first, you know, got up out of bed. And there was a canister that we put aside for Christmas, a container that had a lot of Christmas ornaments and things. And I decided to put it in the bedroom. Not a good idea. Get up in the middle of the night or in the morning, and I make my little pathway, and that wasn't there before, and it's dark. And so, boom, I slammed. That's what happens when we don't have light, when we can't see where we're going. Your word is a light for my feet. Can you imagine if our feet were illuminated? We have little light bulbs. I see these kids with these sneakers that have these illuminations on them. But I'm talking about if you had like little flashlights coming out. Let's say they came out in all sides, so, you know, 360 degrees, so I could see all the way around me, you know, wherever I went. That's the Word. The Word has light coming out of my feet. The Word is lighting my path. You ever worry about your path or wonder about your past or concerned about what's going to happen next? You ever have that next shoe drop and you're waiting for the other shoe? Can I get an amen? How many times do we do that? And how many times has God come through? God says, I'd like to look at the track record and say, well, he got me through that one. He's going to get me through this one. Now, I think that's one of the things about wisdom of age. I think we finally get it, that he's got this. He's going to fix this. So I just picked some verses about the word today, so I'm doing something a little bit different. Timothy 3:16 tells us that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. You know, we're talking about making disciples, right? You know, that's the newest buzzword across the church. It has been for the last decade. And it's a good buzzword. It's something we desperately need to do. It's something that will actually revolutionize the church. It's something that if we actually did it, it would change everything. It's something that would change not only our own life, but the life of everybody we meet. Discipleship. Disciple making. They spent 2 years on trying to define what is discipleship. Is it learning more? Is it growing more? Is it maturing? Yes. Is it pouring into other people? Is it helping somebody else come along? Yes. See, it wasn't either or, it's both. We get trained up, we get mature so that we can help somebody else come along. You know, the age-old process from ages ago that we always had success with, and we're starting to get back to it, we're starting to figure it out again, is mentorship. It's where somebody knows how to do something, and they show you how to do it. Have you ever tried to do something? I guess the best example is on Christmas Day, and you got to put together the kids' toys, and you just throw away the instructions. I don't need those instructions. And all of a sudden, you find out you've got 5,000 parts and all these other screws and things that go together, and so you're just kind of fumbling around because you threw instructions away. Mary will always look at the instructions. Mary will read the owner's manual of the car. Mary is so buttoned up. I'm the opposite. I just get overwhelmed with the whole thing. I'm like, I don't want to deal with it. You know, I just want the thing put together. And then, of course, when it gets put together and it's wrong, or you got extra parts left over, I'm like, well, maybe I should have looked at the instructions. God has given us an instruction book. The Word is our instruction book. It's good for teaching. I love to teach. You know, any teacher will tell you that the best part of teaching is seeing that light in the student's eyes when they finally get it, especially math. Something about math. And you finally see them click, or it could be literature, and they finally understand the depths of this poem. It could be anything. It could even be art appreciation, and you see a new depth in that painting. Because there's a teacher, there's a mentor showing you aspects that you didn't see. And we have the greatest teacher of all. We have the Holy Spirit in us, continually teaching us. All scripture is God-breathed. I love that. God-breathed. Every time you read the word, it's God-breathed. God breathed out. God spoke the word, and it was written in that book so that we can read it. I'm so excited that we are on this journey together. It's like, I already know it's a done deal. I am going to read the word in a year. It's done. I already know it. You know why? Because God is so good that all of a sudden Greg sent me this app. He said, hey, Pastor Tom, maybe this will help you. And then I went on and I found this other one. I was already reading in a chronological order, and I found an app with chronological out of YouVersion. And then Mary's like, well, I want to do that with you. Why don't you invite some other people? And then before I know it, there's 25 people coming along, and not just coming along with me, but giving comments and interacting with one another. And now we have a little bit of accountability here. Because if I fail, which I've done more times than I can remember. I've got 24 people who are going to say, well, wait, what, Pastor? Why did you stop? So I have that accountability level going on, as does everybody else in this group, and there's more people joining by the day. God is so good. It says all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, we won't even get into that, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We're equipped. We're ready to go. We've been given the knowledge. We've been given the training. We've been given the mentorship. And now when a situation hits, and it does a situation hit, almost every day a situation hits, you know, we have situations in front of us all the time, and now we are prepared. And I gotta tell you, my biggest thing, the thing that I stumbled on, and I just stumbled on it, is just to say, hey, dear Holy Spirit, may you speak. I do it before we speak, before I speak every time I'm up here. Dear Holy Spirit, may you speak, and may we hear what you have to say, and then he just takes over. It says in Hebrews, for the word of God is alive and active. I want us to take that literal. Sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Therefore, soul and spirit are not the same. Joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And then it continues, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Nothing is hidden. That should be a joyous thing. Nothing is hidden from God. He sees everything. And the word, as we read the word, it's alive. It's not just things printed on ink inside of a book. It is not just verses. It's just not knowledge passed on from generation to generation. It's alive. And it's active. What does active mean? Moving. It's moving. It's mobile. It's getting going. It's alive and it's moving. I like that, moving. So when we read the word, it's not this stagnant practice. Let's get real. Do you ever get bored reading the word?
You got.
Sorry. Dead on. This person, I can't pronounce their name. You got this person, I can't pronounce their name. You don't see me getting up here doing those passages. I will butcher those passages. And I don't understand who all these people are. As we read the Bible in a year, though, we'll have a better understanding. We'll do better. We have a better understanding of who these people are. And they all have significance. It says back to Psalm 119, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Whoa, 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 whoa. I have hidden, nothing is hidden from God. I love this. I love how God plays with the words. Nothing is hidden from God. But we hide stuff all the time. We try to hide. Does anybody try to hide anything from God? And talk about a futile pursuit. You know, well, maybe he won't know about this one. Oh, it's just a little white lie. It's not going to hurt. I'm going to save somebody's feelings. We can justify it till the cows come home. about why we're going to do what we're doing. I was just talking with some people, man. We will justify anything, and we can. You know, there's this whole thing, and it's becoming more and more a thing out there of where we find evidence to support what we already believe. And more people are doing that. And so basically, whatever your stance is on anything, all you have to do is go into the internet and you can find something that tells you you're right. And we love to be right, even if we're wrong. So we need a base camp again of truth. And the word is truth. Jesus is the truth. He said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. I am the truth. So we need some truth. We need a base camp here. And if we seek God, I love this. I have it on a t-shirt. Seek me and you will find me. Seek me and you. It's not hard. It's not rocket science here, folks. If you seek God, he's not playing hide and go seek. He's right here. If you seek him, you will find him. And you can seek him by being in his word. And then James, I love James. James is where he just gets down to brass tacks. He doesn't play around. You know, James says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror. So what he's saying here is it's like we take a glance in the mirror. We're like, okay, we're all together. Looks good. Ready to face the world. And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. You ever do that? And then you find out, man, I can't tell you how many times I have come out and my collar is all screwed up. And you know, Mary every now and then, she'll put it back together. I used to have another pastor who would do it for me. I would leave the house. I'd be all disheveled. But I thought, man, I looked in the mirror. Everything was good. Until it wasn't. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So he's making a comparison, an analogy, a metaphor of a mirror and a person looking in the mirror, of us reading the word and doing the word. So if we read the word, it's wonderful that we're all going to read the word in a year. Man, I'm so proud of us. I'm already talking like it's a done deal, right? Because it is. It's a done deal. And I'm proud of us. But if we don't do anything with it, if we just build up some more knowledge, we'll have a half-done project. But that's not what's going to happen. And I can tell already it's not what's going to happen because I can tell by the comments. The comments where people are talking to each other and they're probing deeper, so they're already digging deeper into the word and talking to each other and building each other up. They're already putting that rubber to the road. And then if we start talking to some other people and we start sharing what we're learning and growing with, and then if we actually start putting it into action, like James has this one thing he talks about being quick to listen and slow to speak. I got to tell you, that would save every relationship on this planet. If you just be quick to, and I'm not just talking about marriages. I'm talking about our relationships with our kids. I'm talking about relationships at work. I'm talking about relationships with the guy at the store at 7-Eleven. I'm talking if we would be quick to listen and slow to speak.
That's why we got 2 ears and only 1 mouth.
2 ears and 1 mouth, right? God wants us to take this stuff in and not be so quick. We are so quick that we want people to know what we think. And we want people to know that we're smart, that we have good ideas, and our opinion matters, and we don't want to be devalued. Can I get an amen on any of these? And the other 50 I haven't even mentioned yet. We have to build up our own security here, make sure everybody hears us. And you know, there was a thing as I was helping couples that, you know, if you just understand that somebody else has something to lend to the conversation and that you could actually learn from them. Wow, that's humbling. In other words, be quick to listen and slow to speak, and maybe, just maybe, that mentorship, that somebody can teach you something that you don't. Wouldn't it be more valuable to get something from somebody else instead of just telling everybody what you think? I think this world would be a better place if we could just practice that. So what do we do with all this? Usually I just come up with like a one-liner of what we're supposed to do. Not this time. This time we're going to stay with Scripture. What do we do with all this? This is what we do. Romans 10, 14, and 15. And I hope this is humbling. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? This is that devastation place. This is that nothingness place. This is that void place where somebody's not heard about God or hasn't taken it in. And how will they hear? How will they change their attitude? How will they change their mind if no one talks to them? This is the dilemma of the church right now. Active. Alive. The word is active and alive. The people of the church need to be active and alive. As we go into this whole equipping, as we go into this whole reading the word, as we go into this whole disciple making, it's all about being active. It's all about pouring into somebody else. It's all about helping somebody else up that mountain, helping them get to that next base camp. And finally, and how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I preached that verse more than 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And I asked you to do something. I'm going to ask you to do it again. And I'm going to ask you to do it the same way as last time. So you don't have to take your shoes and socks off right now. But when you get home, I want you to take your shoes and your socks off. And I want you to look at your feet. And I want you to see how beautiful they are. And they're beautiful because they carry you places. You take steps. You move over. You talk to somebody. Hi, Mary. You start with just a little hello. How you doing? You know, I had somebody at my work one time, and I think they were in a training exercise, but they walked up to me, and they looked me straight in the eyes, and they said, "Hi, Mary Lynn. How are you today?" And they didn't lose their gaze. They looked straight in my eyes. And I could feel it to the core of my soul that they cared about my answer. It wasn't like, "How you doing today?" It was, "Tom, how are you today?" These feet, these beautiful feet, carry us to others. These beautiful feet help us to mentor someone else. These beautiful feet help us to share the word, share Jesus. So what do we do with all this? We let the word guide us. If we go back to that verse, your word is, I want you to take this in. I want you to own this. Your word is a lamp to my feet. I want you to think of those lights. I think that's so cool. I'm going to make me a shoe. I'm going to have lights shooting out all 360 degrees. Your word is a lamp to my feet, so I don't stumble around and I don't have to be stumbling around for the next month after I slam my foot into something again. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. My path is now and into the future. My path is today and tomorrow. My path is 2025, 2026, 2027, all the way until I meet the glorification of the Lord in the heavens when he raptures me up. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you for your light, your Son, who illuminates our path. We thank you for the Holy Spirit inside of us like a GPS will show us exactly where to go. We thank you that we don't have to stumble around in the dark. We thank you that we can have your word to guide us, to help us. Even if we don't understand all of it, that's okay. We thank you for your tolerance of us as we struggle and stumble around even when we have a light. Sometimes even if we turn off that light. Oh, dear Father God, forgive us for turning off that light and help us to turn it on and show others that light. This we ask through the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Close with that song, Open the Eyes of My Heart.
Told me about, like, if you imagine you're bowling, like right now, if I imagine I'm bowling and I'm getting ready and I'm gonna throw a strike, okay? It happens every now and then. And I mean, I don't even make any of those movements I just made, I just imagine it in my brain that my body will react. The imagination is so strong. My body, if you took, and he did this, he put little sensors on all my fingers and my arms and everything else, and they were all triggering. The muscles were tightening in my wrist, my fingers were tightening up, and you could see the curve of my fingers, you could feel my arm, the muscles, all of it was happening. I wasn't making a move, I was just sitting there thinking about it. But our imaginations are that powerful. So imagine your heart. And we're not talking about the bump, bump, bump heart. We're talking about your heart, your core being. Imagine if you could see with that. I think you'd see like Jesus. You see people differently. You see situations differently. You would feel judged differently. You would see the Father differently. You would understand the Holy Spirit differently. Our goal, we talked about this on Wednesday night, our goal is not to make it to heaven. We're going to heaven. If you got Jesus, you're going to heaven. Hallelujah. Our goal is to become like Jesus. As we open up our hearts, our heart, our core, wants to be like Jesus. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we want to be like Jesus. We thank you for your word to guide us, to open up our path and light our way. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that is always helping us see correctly. We thank you that when we stumble around that you help us heal up and fix our toes or whatever we slam into whatever. We thank you, dear Father God, that you have such compassion and tolerance with us that no matter what, you never, never, never give up on us. Help us, Lord, to share that beauty, that beautiful feet with someone else so they may have beautiful feet and can carry your word to someone else. This we ask through Jesus Christ. We are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord Jesus. Amen.